Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Book of Acts, chapter number 2. We will read verses 42 through verses 47. The title of my message tonight is just simply this, Coming Together. We're going to be dealing with the importance of fellowshipping with one another as the body of Christ should. And hopefully I can make some good application tonight to help us understand a little bit more the importance of every single one of us being one, united with each other. We dealt with that a few weeks ago. And then as we are united with one another, we learn to engage in fellowshipping with one another. Every single one of us in here, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our background, we all need fellowship. And it's good for the soul. It has a purpose for us. It edifies us, it encourages us, and it gives us strength for when we face some difficult times in life, and allows us to have some joy. And so I appreciate every opportunity that we get to have fellowship. And you guys might be laughing, yeah, you got a lot to, you can speak for yourself because you're the guy that sits down in the front row and doesn't talk to anybody. Well, I do fellowship. And you guys just don't see that on times. I enjoy that part of it. But yeah, there are some times I seclude myself. Am I right for those things? No, I'm not right for those things. I'll be honest with you. But I do need to break out of my shell a lot more than what I have and be more personable with people to allow myself to engage in that great opportunity that we have to fellowship with one another. And I believe it's very important for all of us. So as we begin to read in verse number 42 down to verse number 47 here tonight, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Verse 46 is the verse I'm really going to dwell on tonight. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day that you've allowed us to be a part of. To come into your house, to be able to lift up our voices and sing praises to you, to be able to hear the message this morning that was a blessing not only to our ears, but a blessing to our eyes as well. And God, I pray that you just continue to work in us today as we undertake once again the teaching of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity that you have allowed us to do these things. Thank you for your people that are faithful and showing up and wanting to hear your word as well, and wanting to grow and further their walk with you. And so, God, I pray that that would take place tonight. And Lord, for the ones that remain home for some reason or another, God, I pray that you just allow them to be back with us as soon as possible. Lord, if there's sickness that's involved, I pray that you bring healing to their bodies. God, I pray that you just work and bless. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, it's great to be here. But in the book of Acts, we see many interesting things that take place in this book. You can go start in chapter number one. You can end at the end of the chapter there. One that I think of first off, and we're not going to deal with tonight, and I'm just giving you some things, some highlights that I believe that are very interesting, that are captivating to me. One is the rushing in of the Holy Spirit. The other is the church. And the third thing that we see is thousands who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I wasn't a part of that time back then. I often wonder what it would be like to be a part of when 3,000 souls are added to the church, or when 2,000 souls, or however many souls are added at one particular point in time, how much fun that would have been to partake in. To be around during the time of Jesus would be very interesting to see those things take place. And even though we weren't around during that time, now that we are here in our time and age, we ought to be thankful that one comes to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is a great miracle in and of itself. And so when we see one, two, or three, man, what a great time of rejoicing it is for us to take place in that individual's life. For what reason? For this. One, they recognize their sins were separating them from God, and they were damned to hell for eternity. And they knew that they needed to call upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they did those things. And the second thing is, after salvation, they were adopted into the family of God. They are added to the church. And what a great thing that takes place in the life of an individual that day. And so it's something that we ought to rejoice in quite often when that happens. So this evening, I want to continue to go down the path or down the road of how the church is meant to function. And we as God's people play a pivotal role in that as well. What we will look at tonight is something that has been westernized throughout the years, and in most churches, isn't practiced at all. Some do it here and there. Some might not even do it, but some might do it on occasions. But it's been westernized, and it's something that has been forgotten about. From verse 42 down to verse 47, we see just a glimpse of what we are to do as a church. And I'm talking as a body of Christ. And this is what the early church had done in order to continue to grow closer, not only to the Lord, but they did this to grow closer to each other so that they can have great relations between one another. It's great to know that as we walk in these doors, we're able to see faces that are familiar, and then we know that we have one thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ. And off of that, we can build a relationship with one another, and we can continue to grow closer. But that doesn't always take place in a church. They knew of the importance of fellowshipping with one another and how each member of God's family meant a great deal to each brethren. You ought to take a look around tonight as you're in this church and look at each brother and each sister and just realize how important they are to you and how vital they are in your life and how much you need them and how much they need you. And I believe this early church recognized that fact. So with the salvation that we have received, we now have a new family that we are a part of. We are all a part of a family. We're born into a family, some with moms, some with dads, some without moms and dads. But we are born into a family. And with salvation, we are born into God's family. And with that being said, now we are indebted to each other. Fellowship means we associate ourselves with those of the same interest, and that same interest that every believer should have is one thing, and that is God Himself. For without God, we would not have anything that we have. We would not have the salvation. We would not have the fellowship. We would not have the encouragement that we would need from one another. We would not have the edification that we desire to have from one another. So God is the most important thing for us to have, the same interests, having all things in common. God is the one who has formed this great family that we are a part of. And I consider this a great privilege to be a part of. And we only exist because of Him. A family is one who is brought together by marriage, or blood, or through adoption. And families will usually interact with one another, having conversation, or at times, working alongside each other. And when those things take place, there is a tremendous bond that is formed between individuals. It's always interesting, as we gather around as a family, the conversations that's going to take place at the dinner table or as we sit outside on the back deck of mom and dad's, gathering around the food, learning how to fellowship with one another. Some interesting conversations come up. Some go very quickly. But we do these things because we have learned that we are a family and a family sticks together, and we know that we need to interact with one another. Now, sometimes interaction causes us to do some silly things, some things that we might not even think that we're capable of doing. Sometimes when we interact, we got to let our guard down, let people know that we're a little human in life. I was having so much fun last night with Zane. I made it a point to be a great friend to Zane, and for this reason, and I've talked to Ashley about this, and I wasn't the greatest uncle to my nephews and nieces as they grew up, and now that they have kids of their own, I want to change those things, and I want to be important to those kids, and I want to have a part in their life, because they mean something to me. So last night, Zane, you know, he's a character. And he's got a lot of energy in him. He's got a lot of stamina. And one thing I really like about him is he's a show-off. And he's not afraid to show off. And he was doing a little bit of showing off last night and started off with doing some push-ups. He wanted to show how strong he was. And, of course, you know, Uncle Chad can't be outdone, so he's got to do the same things. And that silly little thing led to some other silly little things. And if you want to see it, my wife has it all captured on her phone with video. But it was great to see that take place because there is an interaction with one another. Fellowship is sweet, and fellowship is important because we don't always get it. And so when we do get it, we want to take advantage of the opportunity. For this reason, we want to see our relationships grow with one another. And that bond that's there will be tighter as well. And so interaction is great. The conversation is great. And working with each other is great as well. Most of you guys know I work alongside of Jeff as soon as I get done with my job. You know, it's really hard for me is he's my boss. For a couple hours every day, he's my boss. Whatever he tells me to do, I have to do it. And he pays me, and I appreciate that. And there's some idle times as I'm waiting for him to get done with this stuff. You know what? I feel guilty because I feel sometimes he's just going to ream me because I might be stealing some money from him. You're just sitting there. I'm doing all the work. But anyway, with that being said, that's not the case. Jeff and I, we formed a great bond doing those things. He knows how I think, and I know how he thinks. We do hand signals that I have yet to figure out his hand signals. One of these days, he'll get on the same page as me. But anyway, we have a great relationship, and that's because of the interaction that takes place in our lives. But I have noticed that not all family members are the same. Nor do they act the same. Everybody's different. We all have different tastes. We all have different desires. We all have different ambitions in life. And we're all attracted to different things in our life as well. But when the sun sets at night, you cannot get away from the fact that you are family. You know, I cannot get away from the fact, not only do I have my blood family through my mom and dad, but I cannot get away from the fact I have my blood family through Jesus Christ, that you guys are a part of my life, and I'm thankful for those things. Today, I hope that everyone here tonight, or those that are watching by video, is a part of the greatest family of them all, and that family is God's family. I remember growing up, we used to sing a song, and we sing it on occasions here, and it's called, "I'm So Glad to Be a Part of the Family of God." And there's so much truth to that. But some people can't sing that song with honesty because they don't know what it's like to be a part of the family of God. And I'm thankful tonight that I can sing that song and sing it with meaning and sing it with a great attitude of thankfulness, knowing that I'm a part of His. We all have different personalities as it comes to the families. And at times we might view things in a different light. But we are His. And because we are His, we belong to one another. Because of that, you cannot escape me and I cannot escape you. We belong to one another. And we have to learn how to coexist and learn how to live together and learn how to function together and learn how to fellowship with one another. However, I must give you a warning this evening. And that is a family who doesn't get together when they should becomes a family who will be disconnected with one another. You see why fellowship is important? Because without that fellowship, you will become a dysfunctional family. Fellowship is important for us to get together, to realize that we need one another, to reminisce about the day's events that took place. I can recall on many different occasions, and you guys have heard my stories, and please bear with me, you're going to hear them again. And if you want to doze off for the next few moments, that's fine. But I can remember as we were growing up, it was like clockwork. We ate at 5 o'clock every single night. It wasn't no later than that. We got the dinner table. Matter of fact, I remember around 4:30, we had to set the dinner table. We had to put the plates on the table. We had to put the silverware on there. Mom and Dad, they taught us the right way of doing those things. Had to put the cups on there. We had to do the dishes one time. After that one time, we were done doing the dishes. And I'll never forget that evening, but that was fun. But I can remember on those occasions, we just gather around. And as we gather around a table, we did this. We fellowshiped with one another. We started off with a holding of hands. And pastors always made the joke, well, when you have 6 kids, you got to hold hands and pray so that nobody steals the food before we're supposed to. That's not why we held hands. You know, I always thought that might be true at some point in time, but I realized later on in life, holding hands is a time for us to grow closer together. And so we held hands, we bowed ourselves in prayer. And as we passed the food around the table, we always had to go in a certain direction. I don't know if you guys remember this, Jeff or Christy, but we had to go in a certain direction in how we passed our food around. And if you're the last one, well, you're going to be having a snack later on. But no, Mom always fixed enough food. She fixed plenty of food. We always had plenty to eat. But I remember the sweet fellowship that still rings in my mind. And in my memory, I still see us sitting around a table on 20th and Avenue D and over here at the house here, just sitting together as a family, just rehearsing the events that took place, hearing the crazy stories of Jeff jumping off a garage as he's playing hide-and-seeks from his friends, and as he fell off the garage or jumped off the garage, he lands in a hole and he sprains his ankle. Those silly stories of that nature. And it was good to hear those things. We'd laugh and we'd cry. I can remember one particular day, we sat around a table down there on 20th and Avenue D as a dinner I will never, ever forget, because Mom and Dad wanted us to fellowship long and long as possible that night. And they were successful about it because Mom made sauerkraut that evening. And I wasn't a fan of sauerkraut. And our rule at the table was, you cannot get up until you eat what's on your plate. Well, I thank God for dogs back then. A dog that we named Benji, that was a rescue dog that came from Imogene. I don't know how much longer that dog lived after we fed a mouthful of sauerkraut that evening. But we had some fun fellowship on those times. See, I'm able to rehearse these things and go back and be thankful for these things because the fellowship is sweet. See, that happened back then. Today, our world is not designed that way. Families rarely gather around a table. They really take time out of their schedule and have a dinner placed in front of them, prepared by their mom or even prepared by their dad, and sit down with one another to learn how to fellowship with one another, to get a chance to really get to know each other, how each other functions and what makes them mad, what makes them happy or sad, things of that nature. See, fellowship is important. And so a family that doesn't get time together to fellowship can eventually become a family that will be disconnected with one another. So getting together is very beneficial and will be rewarding as well. So let me ask you a question tonight. So how does the church family get together? And that is a great question, and that is one that I would like to answer to the best of my ability and the knowledge that I have. A church family can get together in many different levels. We have on many occasions work days around here. That's a time for not just men to come along, but young men, young ladies and women to come in and to be able to partake in the working days, to learn how to work together, and again, to learn how to fellowship. So there's many different levels. Another level that we've just reintroduced to our church is that in the form of visitation. And what a great time that we have seen with God working in that area, having folks coming in at an early hour in the morning, having some sugar put in their system through the form of coffee and Krispy Kreme donuts, and just having that fellowship with one another. But the one that we are familiar with is that in the form of going to church, worshiping together. And I love being in church. I love being able to have the ability to worship with one another. Church is a place to where we can come together and begin to worship the Lord. Not only that, it's also to learn on how we can fellowship. It is a training ground for us to learn how to fellowship with one another. Growing up the way I did, it's natural for me to be at church. It's a natural thing for me to be. It's unnatural for me to be in any other setting, I'll be honest with you. But for those who didn't grow up the way I did, it can be very foreign to them. And they might not understand where I'm coming from on those things. But I'm very grateful for the upbringing I had in that area. Many things are accomplished at church. But there are a few things that are difficult to do because of the time that we allow ourselves. For instance, it's hard to get to know somebody or someone by showing up right on time. See, we all know that church starts at a certain time, whether it be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock. Those are our times that we normally start. And when that time comes, the bell rings, we all gather, we come in and get ready for the service that evening. But it's hard for us to learn how to fellowship when we just walk in the doors seconds or maybe minutes before the services begin. And then, as soon as that takes place, we go through, the only word that's coming to my mind is we go through the ritual, we sing our songs, we hear the message, and as soon as that's all done, taking place, what do we normally do? We all make a beeline right out of here to get to our cars to get home. And so we're robbing ourselves of a time of fellowship with one another. It's important for us to get to know each other. And I'm thankful for those times that we're able to do those things. It's hard to fellowship when that takes place in individuals' lives. And honestly, it's not healthy for us to be that way. And it can be very disastrous. Because you're not allowing yourself to grow close to the people that God has called you to serve together with one another. And we need to have that bond with one another. We need to be able to grow with each other. And so if you're not allowing that to take place, you're really doing yourself a disservice. And whether we like it or not, we're going to be with each other in eternity. We might as well learn how to function together here on earth so that when we get to heaven, it's natural to us. And so we need to be excited for those things. How well can we get to know someone when very little time is given? It's hard to get to know somebody in just a few moments or a few seconds or just a hi and a bye here and there. It's hard to get to know that individual's heart. It's hard to get to know what they like and what they don't like. And so we need to take that time to get to know somebody. And so when that takes place, here's another thing that's difficult for us to do. How can you edify, or how can you encourage, or how can you bring joy to a brother or a sister if you don't take the time to get to know them? Maybe it's time for us to get out of our comfort zone and begin to learn how to fellowship with other believers. You know, you folks might sit there and say, well, Chad, you're really talking to us. No, I'm really exposing myself here. Things that I struggle with. Things that I need to expound on and to become better at because I'm not good at these things. I don't have the natural ability that I believe my wife has to be able to talk to anybody, or the natural ability that Jeff has to go and greet somebody. That's not me, but it can be me because I can make myself better through the help with God. So how are we able to edify each other? So we need to get out of our comfort zone to learn how to fellowship with each other. Every day there is a family member. Have you thought about this? There is a family member, whether it's in your personal family or whether it's in the family of God. There is a member who is hurting. they're going through some difficult times in their life, some things that it might be hard for them to discuss, and they might not be able to tell you these things. But through knowing them, you learn how to know their body language. You learn how to read their faces. And that's really, I believe, spiritual discernment that God has given you through those things. And so there are people who are hurting, going through hard times, whether it be spiritually hard times, whether it be physically hard times, or whether it may be some financial hardships in our life. God has brought us together for this reason, to be an encouragement, to edify each other during these difficult times. And what a great joy that we have to be that encouragement to one another. You know, you folks got to witness this morning some great encouragement from a few ladies in our church, golf clubs, that I happened to break on one of my golf outings. And they blessed me by doing it. They edified me. They lifted me up. And now I can't wait to put those in use. And if they break, they thought ahead of time. They gave me some tape to tape everything back together. that to me, that's encouraging. Why is that encouraging? Because I believe because some fellowship has taken place. We've gotten to know each other in a different way, and I'm thankful for those things. So what I'm trying to say is that we need each other for strength. We need each other for encouragement as well. And without fellowship, how are we able to accomplish those things? We need to accomplish these things through fellowship. Please understand me when I say this, and don't take this the wrong way, because I know it could come out the wrong way. But as I say this, there is more to church than just going to church. There really is. There's more to church than just going to church. Here is what the early church did in verse number 46. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord," and that's not talking about a Honda. It says, "and with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So verse 46 says it very clearly. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions, and as they sold their possessions, they took care of the folks that were in need. But what they did next was the most important thing that they did. Not only did they meet daily in the temple, and I'm thankful that we're able to meet whenever these doors are open, and when these doors are open, we need to take advantage of each and every single service. Because every service, regardless who the speaker is, God has something for you. God has something for you. And so they met daily in the temple. It was important for them to go to church, to go to the temple, to worship, to learn what God wanted for them in that day. But they also went from house to house doing what? Breaking bread with each other. Sitting down at each other's table, taking place with maybe a simple dinner, maybe just some bread, maybe some water, whatever they had at that point in time. They sat around and they broke the bread. And as they broke the bread, I can just imagine this, as because we have done this in our own household, conversation begins to break forth. Man, this is good bread. Where did you get this bread at, Mrs. Potter? Well, I got it down from the local market. Oh, well, how much was it? So conversation just begins to break out during those things. And to begin to go forth, not only just from saying how good the bread was, but I believe it went much deeper than that. I believe they got to know each other a little bit more than that. I believe they talked about God. I believe they talked about each other's relationship with God. And I believe they talked about how they can make their relationship better with God and with each other. So when a family sits down and when a family begins to break bread with each other, there is something special that takes place. Well, what is that something special that takes place? That special thing is, and I've said it before, and I hope you got it, but I'm going to give it to you again just in case you didn't, is a bond that is formed. A bond that is formed. Taking time to getting to know one another. I said it before a little while ago, we can't get to know each other by just coming in just as soon as the bell rings and leaving right away. We have to have that time of fellowship. I don't know if you folks have noticed this, but there has been some things that have taken place here on Sunday night. Now, if you leave early, you don't know these things. But there are some times on Sunday nights, people love to get together. Now, my wife, she's a big advocate for these things. She loves getting together. It's her favorite time of the week is Sunday night after the service. I don't know if it's because I'm done talking, but she's excited that the church service is over, and she wants to have time of fellowship with people that she has things in common with. And so what normally takes place, and this irritates me, but it shouldn't irritate me, but I'm a guy, things irritate me. And so there comes a dinner, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's times I just want to go home. But usually what happens is, when we know we're going to go eat somewhere, most people stand around here for another 45 minutes. As they talk, and I'm thinking to myself, clock is ticking here. Restaurants close at 9 o'clock nowadays, and people want to get home earlier. And so I'm thinking, why are we waiting around? We can go and get our food ordered, and, well, that doesn't normally happen. We wait around here for 45 minutes, sometimes an hour, but we get to the place that we go to. But I've noticed some things taking place. People are wanting to be around one another. And I know it's not always convenient for people to do this all the time. I understand those things. I know it's not always feasible to do those things. But there's something that takes place, and that is the fellowship of just being with one another. The conversations that come up. The laughter that's going around. And to be honest with you, when I'm in a crowd of that size, I can't pick what's going on. My hearing becomes horrible during that time when I have so much noise around me, I cannot focus on a conversation. Someone will talk to me, and I was like, yeah, that's good. What do you mean it's good? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I can't hear very well in those areas. But what's taking place? It's a time of fellowship. And what happens when you begin to fellowship, here's what takes place. Through that, you might learn that person's heart just a little bit better than you knew the day before. See, it's important for us to know each other's heart. It's important for us to know those things. What makes us tick? What ticks us off? What makes us happy? What makes us sad? What are we excited about in Scripture? What concerns us in Scripture? That's how we get to know each other just a little bit better. To know the heart of an individual is important in our lives. And with that being said, as you begin to know the individual's heart, you will begin to form a bond that is unbreakable. So how can this be done today through the local church? Well, I love to answer questions, and I'm happy to answer this very question. We can do this as well by having fellowship through potluck-style dinners at the church. God has given us a beautiful place to worship. He has given us a beautiful place to gather, and we need to take advantage of that. We truly do. The church is under attack. Satan wants to destroy the families. Satan wants to destroy the church. How can he do those things? By us not allowing ourselves to fellowship with one another. You see, when a family has fellowship and when that bond is formed, you have formed, really, an army of great believers. You feel unstoppable. You feel like nobody can attack you. But when not all the families together, we become very vulnerable. So God has given us a place to gather, a place to worship, a place to have fellowship, and we need to take advantage of that. Well, it's not convenient for me. We can make it convenient. Well, I don't want to do it every Sunday night. I'm not saying every Sunday night, because I know you do stuff every Sunday night. Things can get old and become very discouraging. Oh, we got to do this again. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we do it daily. But by the way, what's the saying in the Bible here? They met daily in the temple, and they met daily in each other's houses, and they broke bread every single day. And I don't see a problem with it, to be honest with you. But I do believe we need to take advantage of what we have here. Purposely setting time aside of fellowship to grow closer to each other. Some here at this church, we are all that they have. There are some folks that have no family outside of us, and they consider us their family. They want to be around us. They want a fellowship, because once they leave here from church, they go home and they have nobody else. And so a time of fellowship for them is great and is needed in their life. And we can be a great encouragement to them at that point in time. And we can be such a blessing to them through this type of fellowship. I want you to catch what happened to the early church that practiced this very thing. Let's read again in verse number 46. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Verse 47 is the key to all of this. As they met, as they break bread, as they fellowshiped with one another, it says, praising God. You know, every time that we get together to have fellowship, we should be praising God. It shouldn't be about us all the time. We've been to camp. We know their slogan. It's not about us. It's all about Him. So they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, listen to this. Look what took place with them meeting daily in the temple and with them breaking bread in their house from house to house. It says, "And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved." They were praising God, and the Lord added to the church daily. I'm saying that we don't need to do this every month or every 6 weeks or every day, but I do believe that we need to set some time aside from here on out to have fellowship with one another so that we can get to know each other, so that we too can learn how to praise God together. And the Lord blessed them for this. He added to the church daily. I don't know if you've caught what's gone on in the last few months, but God has done something to this church. And it's not through me, it's not through pastors, it's not through anybody else, it's through Him. And that is, and I believe it starts with people with willing hearts to go out and to knock on doors. We have tonight sitting with us Doug, who I believe is part of that blessing to us, who got saved at home, followed in baptism, and now he sits with us tonight. We have a VBS, and I'll be honest with you, I was concerned because the numbers were down, but to be honest with you, as the week went on, I was like, you know what, it's not about the numbers. It's about reaching one soul. But through that, God blessed us, not with a child, but with a mom who has come to church and has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have had multitudes of people in the last few months step through these doors that have never stepped through these doors before. Why is that? Because I believe God is bestowing His blessings upon this church because of just the little fellowship that we are partaking in. So just imagine with me, if we were to have more fellowship with one another, how much greater God's work He'll do in this church. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I've never really seen this before in Scripture until this afternoon, how He added to the church daily because they met together, because they wanted to be around each other. And I know there are some circumstances at times that take us away. I understand those things, and I don't fault people for those things one way or another. Why people miss, that's their business. I have to answer to God for me. I don't answer to God for you. And I have to remind myself of that. I'm not putting anybody on a pedestal any way, shape, or form, but we all answer to God for how we live our lives. But just imagine, the more fellowship that we have with one another, just imagine how much more God will bless this church that He has allowed us to be a part of. So that being said, tonight, I'm going to close with our service. And so most people that are going to, as we close with a word of prayer, now's the time for us to practice not to make a beeline to the doors. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for Your word. Lord, thank you for opening up my eyes even more today. God, I know that I don't do this the way that you designed it to. And God, I failed you in many areas. I just pray that I would understand that I need to make improvements in my life in this area. God, I thank you for the ones who see the need and have a great desire to be around each other, the joy that it brings them, the excitement that it brings to their life. God, I pray that I can just have just a little bit of that in my life. God, I pray you bless us as we leave from here. Bring us all back safely this coming Wednesday. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.